The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. No Scotty tonight. Carver High and Mafia. Mike Carver and Brian Siano with you. Final night this week. Scotty will be back on Monday from vacation for Super Bowl week. Let's get pumped. The number 844-843-6879 to get involved. We are rocking, of course, Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. We have a lot going on. A lot of NBA games. We're going to get into those in a moment. We had a couple of NFL press conferences today involving the Texans and Eagles, which provided some information or no information, depending on how you look at it, and some unintentional comedy, too, as well. We have a very big trade in Major League Baseball that just came down about 20 minutes ago with Nolan Arenado going to the St. Louis Cardinals. So we have that, too. We have a Super Bowl next week, a bunch of NBA games, one NHL game as we head into the weekend. Good evening, Mafia. How are you?
What's going on, Mike? I'm doing good. You know, we got, like you said, a ton of hoops going on. Even more coming tomorrow with all the big college day as we usually have on Saturday and then a little of the sprinkle on Sunday. A little bit of a letdown having to wait for the NFL and the Super Bowl coming, but we'll fill it with some other action going. No fights, no football, but we'll fill it other ways and get our fill somehow.
We do have Caleb Plant tomorrow night, Mafia. You do have Caleb Plant tomorrow.
You're right. We do. A free fight. What am I saying?
It's the best kind. A free fight, and that's on Big Fox, right? Is that on Big Fox?
That is. PBC on Fox.
There you go. So we do have Caleb Plant against the other Caleb, and he's going to clean him out most likely. Where is that fight, Mafia? Where are they fighting at?
Ooh, that, I don't know. I'll have to look that one up.
Is that a Vegas fight? It's got to be a Vegas fight. I would have to assume. We'll see. We'll talk about that later. Maybe we'll dive into Caleb Plant, see what his odds are right now on FanDuel later on, try to squeeze a couple bucks out of him tomorrow night. Right now, NBA, the Clippers Mafia, they get Kawhi and PG-13 back tonight. They are racking the Magic, 107-83 in the fourth quarter. The Nets all over the Thunder. No KD tonight. It does not matter. 129-108. I mean, geez, with about 6 minutes left to go in the fourth, I know they had a buck 15 after three quarters. They are just filling it up right now. 76ers up 95-77 on the T-Wolves. Spurs and Nuggets in a good one right now. 75-72 Spurs. Couple finals, too. The Knicks, your boy Mafia, Emmanuel quickly having another big night. 102-81. Barrett played well, too. And the Knicks get a win over the Cavs. The Hawks beat the Wizards 116-100. Hornets beat the Pacers 108-105. And now a final in New Orleans. And we'll dive into this later, Mafia, because the Bucks, now I'll give them a little credit. They did come back in the second half and almost pull it off. They lose 131-126, but for at least the first half, the Bucks were just embarrassing against the Pelicans. I think they were down 22 or 23 at the half. Bucks have a little bit of a charge, come up short. So sad to see the Bucks lose tonight in New Orleans. And then we got the Mavs and the Jazz coming up later as well. So we've got a bunch of games on the docket here tonight. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Final night this week. And then Monday, Scotty is back. Get pumped for the long haul. Super Bowl week through February, March Madness, the whole deal. Scotty back in the saddle. So we're looking forward to it. Of course, SiriusXM 204, Sports Grid Radio, and all of our other great affiliates, the Mightier 1090, and on and on and on. So yeah, Moff, the Bucks, awful first half. They kind of try to make up for it in the second. They come up short. You know that I'm never going to shed a tear when the Bucks lose a game, but nice job by the Pelicans, who've been awful this year, to put it on the Bucks in the first half and end up holding on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that team has so much talent, but they just haven't gotten together, you know, for the most part all year. They can score a lot of points. They play no defense whatsoever. So against a team like the Bucks, you would think that it could be easy pickings down in New Orleans for Milwaukee to get a win here. But just like yesterday, where you had the Lakers struggle in Detroit, a little bit different because obviously the Bucks weren't missing their second best player. And no, New Orleans definitely has more talent than Detroit. I don't want to put them down in that way. But, you know, another situation where a top team in the conference should get a relatively easy win against, you know, a lower team in the other conference, and they just don't get it done. It's a bad shooting night all around from the Bucks. It was pretty ugly from the get-go. You know, good fight to come back, just like the Lakers did against Philly a couple games ago, but not enough. I mean, you got to, you know, handle that game. You got to handle your business there and get that win.
Yeah, but they did not. What a shame. College hoops tonight, Mafia. We do have one game. Usually there's one good Big Ten game on a Friday night, and it's a real good one this week. Iowa at Illinois. They have just started the second half, Fighting Illini up a deuce, 48-46 on the 7th-ranked Hawkeyes. So we have that to keep our eyes on in the second half while we were on the bench as well. The other big game tonight unfortunately got postponed, which was a good A-10 game between St. Louis and Richmond. That got put by the boards. Hockey tonight, only one game too, which bothers me, but it was very profitable for me. The Jackets are up 2-1 in the third period over the Blackhawks in Chicago. We played a bunch of guys for power play points tonight, and they have all been hitting, which we love to see as we chase that every night of the week. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We will come back, start getting into some of these NFL stories, and a lot more. Pharrell on the bench rolls on right after this.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We are rocking on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio and all of our other great affiliates. I mean, Mafia, they can't make the totals in these net games high enough. Let's be fair. I mean, they're going to have to start. They're going to have to start creeping these things. Like, they've been in, like, consistently in, like, the mid, you know, low to mid 230s. You know, the last couple games, I mean, they're smoking them. Like, aside from that game against the Heat last week, maybe it was on Monday or whenever it was, when it was kind of a slower game. But other than that, they smash these totals every night. It is 140 to 116 with like 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. So they're at, what's that, 256 right now. And KD didn't even play tonight. Like, it is pretty crazy, Mafia, how the Nets just, you know, they're just going to try to, you know, to just bash you with points. It's pretty good.
Well, you know, Oak City just has nobody to play defense either, apparently. Apparently, neither team wants to play defense. Because it's not even just, you know, like you said, KD's out. Kyrie and Harden have 25 apiece. You know, not anything to sneeze at. But it's not like either of these guys are dropping like a 42 and 37 point game between these, you know, these guys. Harris has 20. Deion Jordan has 10. Brown has 15. Green has 11. Luano Cabarro has 13. Shamet has 11. I mean, everybody except Johnson, who has stepped on the court, has points in this game. It is just ridiculous. So Tyler Johnson's the only one who hasn't scored. That's because he only played 2 minutes. Even Chioza, who's only had 2 minutes, has 3 points. So they are just not stopping anything on that team. They just can't, you know, get in front of anybody and even put a hand up, I guess. Even though, you know, Oak City's got some points of their own. 120 is usually a pretty good score, but not when you give up 140.
It's true. It really is. 143 to 120. Nets are up 23 as they're about to close that one out. Sixers are beating up the Timberwolves. Good game between the Spurs and the Nuggets. The Jazz and the Mavs just underway. And I'm watching this hockey game. There's about 6 minutes left to go in the third period as Columbus has a 2-1 lead over the Blackhawks. Only game in the NHL tonight, but it is a very heavy weekend. Maybe we'll touch on that later. A lot of games on Saturday and Sunday in the NHL. All right, Mafia. So we had a bunch of introductory press conferences today in the NFL. Of course, we have the Texans with David Culley. Later on, believe me, we're going to get to the Eagles with Nick Sirianni because that one was just too good to ignore. But let's start with the Texans because clearly that's the big topic here with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, they all said the right things. Culley, I took the job knowing that Watson was going to be the quarterback. We've got Casario. Let's listen to Casario first, Mavi. That kind of sets it up pretty good because Nick Casario, the new general manager, very Belichickian in the way he talked about the organization's approach to Deshaun Watson. Here's Casario.
I just want to address a couple things here quickly before we get started. So organizationally, just want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. He's had a great impact on this organization, a great impact on a lot of people, a great impact on this team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring once we get started. And, you know, we have zero interest in trading the player. We have a great plan, a great vision for him and for this team and his role on our team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring. So,
yeah, sure. We have zero interest in trading the player. Zero interest in trading the player. It's pretty good, Moff. And this is what we kind of gets back to what we were saying last night. Like, let's be fair. It's a very hard deal to do. It's hard to take one of the five best quarterbacks in the league and trade him. These guys are not hard to find. But he never actually said we're not trading him. He said we have zero interest in trading him. So what are we to believe, Mafia?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, something they don't want to do, but they might have to do still. It all depends on Watson, how willing he's far to go, and, you know, how he is going to take this. Like, if their completely relationship is done, if he has no trust in this organization, no trust in Cal McNair, no trust in anybody that they've brought in, you know, and the used-to-be guy that everyone talks about, or in Casario or, you know, Culley, if he has no interest in those guys, no trust in them, no possibility of that being repaired, then they might not have interest in it, but they will have to. If he says, I'm not playing for you, they will have no choice but to do that. It just depends if that's the stance he's willing to take. If he's, you know, going to open up and say, hey, listen, some of these guys haven't screwed me over yet, let me see what they got to say. And he talks to these guys. He talks to Casario, he talks to Culley, and, you know, they're able to kind of breach the divide a little bit. And, you know, maybe they, you know, they do throw McCown on the staff and he likes him maybe. And, you know, he could be the one that kind of massages his ego and gets him back in the building. Then they don't have to. But you know what? It almost, to me, is very dangerous and stupid the way he made that statement, because I'm sure he didn't mean to. But if this guy has already ticked off at you about how you don't really view him as someone who's important and someone who you really have to listen to and someone who, you know, should be involved in decisions, when you first say, you know what, he's done great things, we love him, he's awesome, great, that was perfect. But then when you say the player, when you go from talking about him and saying his name to then not even talking about him as a person, not even recognizing his name, just saying him as if he's player A or exhibit A, just any generic person, to me, if I was already annoyed at you, that's pissing me off. That's making me not want to work with you.
No, it's so true. And that's why it's Belichickian in a sense of, it kind of reminds you of how things are operated in New England. And he's bringing that New England style down to Houston. And we've seen guys leave that organization, you know, in a coaching aspect, try to implement the Belichick way, and it, you know, just does not work out for them. You know, Patricia, McDaniels, we can go on and on with some of these guys. But Caserio, he's got a very, very tough task in front of him. A very, very tough task. Because that's going to be a very difficult thing to do, to trade that guy. Very hard. And Cully, Mafia, what'd you think of Cully? Like, does he, I mean, he's really, you know, well, I took the job knowing that he was going to be the quarterback. All right, dude. Well, the guy hasn't even talked to you. He hasn't even talked to you. And you think, if you thought that, wouldn't you reach out and try to get some assurance? Sean, I'm thinking of taking the job. You want to talk to me at least? Doesn't that open an eye to you, Dave? I guess not, Mafia. Even for Cully, that didn't open the eyes that the guy didn't even want to talk to him. I mean, wake up. Wake up.
Yeah, I'm sure he had a lot of stuff going on trying to get there, trying to figure out, you know, where he goes from here, what he has to do to fix the team, all that. But, you know, he is focus number one on this team. He is the absolute most important thing for you to do now that you're the coach. As you said, is reach out to this guy, talk to this guy. Maybe even before you take the job, say, hey, I would love to, but let me make sure I have this guy first. You know, I don't want to come to this team and not have a quarterback and be starting over at 65 years old trying to rebuild a team. But then again, you know, as long as it takes him to get this opportunity, maybe he's just happy to have it no matter who's there or what it is. Just saying, hey, I mean, at 65, he probably has, what, 5, 6, you know, maybe top 10 years left in this business. So he might just say, hey, let me get my shot, and however it goes. But I would think, yeah, if I'm going to take that job, you're probably, you know, going to be losing J.J. Watt. You're probably losing most of your receivers. Let me at least make sure this guy's secured. But then again, you know, what was he supposed to say at that? They already asked Caserio before that about Watson. Was he supposed to say, well, you know, I hope he stays here, but if he's not, he's not. Like, the GM already said, we're not trading him. He's kind of stuck into saying, yeah, this is our quarterback, and, you know, whatever happens, happens from there.
And the other thing that's very confusing for him taking the job, and listen, there's only 32 of these jobs. You're in the mix and you get one, you're going to take it. But, like, they're pretty much telling him he has to have the same offensive coordinator that's been there. It sounds like the Lovie Smith deal, he's going to be the defensive coordinator, was like a package deal, like you had to take Lovie Smith as the DC. Doesn't even get to pick a staff, it sounds like. Very bizarre, the whole thing with Cully. We'll see how it goes for him down there in Houston. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia, in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling on the bench on a Friday night right after this. From the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879 is the number to get involved on a Friday night. Final night for me and Mafia here. We're rocking on Sirius XM channel 204, Sports Grid Radio, and all of our great affiliates. Scotty will be back on Monday from vacation, Super Bowl week, full swing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The Blue Jackets get the win in Chicago, a 2-1 final. And that's a nice job by them. They won last night at home over Florida. Go do the back-to-back on the road in Chicago and get a win. They're in first in the Central. Now, a lot of those teams haven't played the same amount of games. That's where most of the COVID situations have been in the NHL this year. But the main thing, Mafia, that happened in this 2-1 game tonight is that the Blue Jackets had a power play goal, and it was assisted by Werenski and Atkinson, and that the Blackhawks had a power play goal, and it was scored by Dylan Strome and assisted by Kubalik. So four players with the power play point prop tonight, Mafia, including some juicy ones at plus 550 and plus 630. So wow. There you go. That's what we like. Call. That's what we like to call, Mafia, a good night on the ice.
That's a great night on the ice. You get some plus 530 and plus 650. I mean, that's a heavy night.
That's a good night on the ice. We've had a couple. We've been doing this every
tomorrow.
Good night on the ice. And I didn't want to play one game because you remember we did the show Monday night. There was one game. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore with one game, playing six guys in one game and not spreading it out. So, you know, geez, who am I to ever, you know, stick by my word when it comes to gambling? So there you go. I end up playing it tonight, and we have ourselves an oil well of a hit. So that's a good night on the ice. Jazz up 23-10 on the Mavericks early on, and the Spurs up 95-92 on the Nuggets late in that game. We'll check in on Iowa and Illinois also in the Big Ten in a little bit too. So we talked about the Texans. The funny one, Mafia, the really interesting one, was the Eagles. Because they introduced Nick Sirianni today, who, of course, was the offensive coordinator at the Indianapolis Colts. And he gets the job out of nowhere. I mean, this guy wasn't on anybody's radar. And, of course, he was asked a billion questions about Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. And you got zero answers. We're not committed. We're not saying anybody's the quarterback. Blah, 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 blah. But Sirianni, Mafia, did make a pretty good first impression on the Eagle fans, the city of Philadelphia. Here he is trying to explain, I guess, how his team's going to be coached, Mafia. Let's take a listen to the great Nick Sirianni.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team, that we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against, or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over. But we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so. Next.
What? What? Mafia, can you translate, please?
Yeah, I don't know. How do you have systems that are easy to learn but hard to follow for the other team? And, you know, that guy was just talking in the biggest circles I've ever heard. Obviously, he's kind of, you know, you're under pressure. You're new to this gig. You're facing a very harsh media. I mean, let's not, you know, sugarcoat this. New York, Philadelphia, Boston, you know, those are the big jobs where you're under the not just the big guns, but the tanks aiming at you with these media guys. They love to take you down, especially, you know, for those introductory press conferences. You know, it's legendary, some of them, like the ones, you know, we talked about Gates with the crazy eyes in New York earlier today on the show, that, you know, you have a bad press conference and they'll just tear you apart. Or didn't McAdoo have like a terrible suit, like that was like too big, and they ripped him on that for years? Yeah. Like, they'll look for
this guy didn't even wear
apart.
A suit today. He didn't even wear a suit. He was wearing like an eagle like jumpsuit or something.
Right, I mean, running suit. Yeah,
got to wear the suit on your introductory press conference, right? Where's the suit?
You would think, although I mean, I guess that running suit was better than Casario's suit. Honestly, that one looked like somebody's couch the guy was wearing down in Houston. But I mean, it was a mess there. But the guy's under pressure. He's kind of, you know, doesn't want to say the wrong thing, and then not trying to say the wrong thing. Didn't really say anything.
He said nothing. He basically went around in circles for 40 minutes. And I get the whole, it's a tough
Do
gig.
You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I understand it's a tough spot. But, look, first impressions are important. And you said it. When you're in one of those media markets where you can get eaten alive very quickly, for you to come out there and just start mumbling and rambling, whatever it was that he was just trying to say right there. And listen, we're taking like a 40-second clip out of 40 minutes of the guy talking, okay? We're having fun with that clip. But, you know, it's just an indication of what you're dealing with here. And what it goes back to me is, Mafia, you know, all the things that, you know, everybody makes excuses why Bieniemy...
He's a big boy. He knows what he said.
...got a job. Excuses why Bieniemy didn't get the job. You know, well, he doesn't call the plays. Well, neither did Sirianni. Well, maybe he doesn't, you know, he's not a good interviewer. I mean, listen, I know that sitting in an interview room with maybe the owner and two or three other people, as opposed to being in front, wasn't even in front of anybody. He was on a Zoom call. So I can't even use that as an excuse, being nervous in front of people. He was on a Zoom call. I don't know, Mafia. It just was a really bad first look.
It's hard
for
to picture everybody in their underwear when you're only seeing their heads on Zoom screen. Come on.
A rough first go for Sirianni, and he's in like, you know, he's in a really tough spot with the Wentz-Hurts thing, because now that he's in the hot seat, it's going to be the ultimate question.
Friendly conversation.
What are you going to do with this guy? What are you going to do with these quarterbacks? It's clear that Wentz wanted Peterson out of town, and he won. But for them all to sit there today and be so non-committal, that kind of they leave the door open again, just like the Rams with Goff and just like all these other quarterback situations. The Eagles are the same. They've left the door open to where could Wentz be gone? I mean, we talked about some bad cap hits. I mean, he's right up there with the rest of them. But Sirianni didn't give you any indication of what's going to happen with the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
You just made the list, buddy.
I mean, like you said, you haven't gotten that from any of them, and that's the problem. It leads to a lot of speculation. Leads to a lot of, you know, people just saying, "Well, this is going to happen," or "I think they should do this," and you know, it's going to cause a lot of issues. But it gives, you know, a lot of fodder to talk radio hosts and TV hosts and all that. I mean, the issue is they really can't say anything. There's nothing to say because I don't think they know what they're going to do right now. They're between a rock and a hard place. They're sitting there saying, "Listen, we got this guy who's completely broken, but making a ton of money. So either we got to suck it up and try to fix him, or we, you know, got to find somebody stupid enough to take him for all this money." That even if they trade him, you know, as people say, it's a big hit on them. It's a big cap hit that's going to make their team suck next year. And, you know, right. In LA, you know, Goff's got a big deal right now. You're not just going to cut that and eat that money. So, yeah, they don't want him to be the guy, but they got to try to see if anyone is stupid enough to take him. They don't want to trade Watson and Houston, but they have to see if they can repair that. There's so many unknowns with all these quarterbacks that, you know, as we talked about all week and for, you know, a couple weeks now, this stuff has started to trickle out. It's really a no-win situation for them because if you give no information like they have, we sit there and say, well, you didn't tell us anything. You didn't commit. Like, figure out what you're doing. Right. But then if they do commit and then 2 weeks later change what they do, then we're saying, well, you lied to us. You told us you weren't going to get rid of that guy. And now he's gone.
It really is bizarre because if you didn't want Wentz to be the quarterback, I don't know, why get rid of Peterson? You know, that's kind of like how I look at it. So I think that he is going to be the quarterback. He's going to get the first crack because if you try to put the pieces of the puzzle together, it just wouldn't make sense. Did Peterson do that bad of a job? We did this when he got fired, but did he do that bad of a job? The guy won a Super Bowl, and the first bad year that he has, you whack him? No, we got whacked because Wentz doesn't want him anymore. So if Wentz won that battle, you'd have to assume that you're going into this year with him as the quarterback. You're not getting another quarterback, right? You just took Hurts in the second round, and you played him at the second half of this year. So you're not in the quarterback market per se. It's not like they're going to be in the mix for any of these players. Very bizarre and strange, Moff. If I had to bet, you know, dollars to donuts, I would guess that Wentz is going to be playing week one for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, he will. And there's one reason for that. His salary. It doesn't matter about him beating out Peterson. It doesn't matter about what he's done before, how he was almost an MVP. It matters his salary. You're not having a $30-plus million backup quarterback. Either he's starting or you're finding someone else to take him and eat some of that money because you don't want to eat it all. And right now, the way it looks, it's going to be really hard and nearly impossible to get somebody to eat that salary and not have a ton on your books. So guess what? He's starting. He'll play one more year. They'll suck it up. And if he stinks next year, he's gone the year after that.
No, it's true. It's very true, Moff. And Sirianni's off to a rough start, and he's going to have to do a little, you know, get used to talking to these reporters on Zoom because that was not a good start for him today. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We're rocking on Sirius XM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio. We keep it going right after this.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends. You're listening to The Winning Edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Wanna be a
care.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We're rocking, of course, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio, and all of our other great affiliates. Tie game here, Mafia, with 5 minutes to go in Illinois between number 7 Iowa, number 19 Fighting Illini. And this has been a really good basketball game. I'm interested in it. Illinois has been struggling. Iowa, we know how they operate. It's Garza, and they like to play high-scoring games. And, ooh, it's getting physical down low. So good one tonight in the Big Ten, Mafia. We actually finally have a good game here.
Yeah, it's a tight one here. It'll be interesting to see how this finishes. You know, Illinois led it to half. Iowa's now fighting back, trying to take this game. It's interesting because, you know, you talk about the big men. It just shows the difference in some of these guys. That Garza, you know, again, 19 points. He's just a beast. Not that many rebounds, actually, only 4. 3 personal fouls, so that might be a little bit of an issue, you know, earlier in the game. That's what kind of has him down a little bit on the rebounding side, a little less aggressive on that part of the ball. But, I mean, again, Coburn is struggling. You know, both games that they faced Iowa, he's had issues. And 7 points here, only 8 rebounds. So he's getting, you know, done on the boards, but he's not really scoring nearly as much every time he has to face Garza. So that might be an issue for him. You know, if he gets to the next level, that every time he faces a good big man, he kind of struggles offensively.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm at yet, Mafia, with him at the next level. I mean, I think he was smart to come back this year and play another year, but I'm not really sure. Even though he's going to be the player of the year, all that stuff, I'm not sure where I'm at with Garza as far as the NBA goes. And they go to the under 4 timeout, tied at 69. You can actually get Iowa right now if you wanted to dabble. You could actually get Iowa live line at FanDuel plus 130 money line to win. In a tie game, 4 minutes left, better team, albeit on the road, could be a good spot for Iowa right now, Moff.
Yeah, that could be a great spot right there. I'm actually looking and trying to get that on the app right now and see if I could sign in and get it in early enough before they change it on me.
Fast fingers.
But that could be one I'm definitely interested in because, as you said, Iowa is the better team. They've run the Big Ten for most of this year. I know they kind of gave up the lead for a second there when Michigan was taking over after they lost that game. I think it was what to Wisconsin they lost to, if I'm not mistaken. And then Michigan went and lost themselves, so now it's kind of up for grabs again. So, yeah, they're the class of that conference. I would not be surprised if they come back and win this game here now that it's tied up and they've come back in the second half.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this one as we go through. We got to go to the NBA, Mafia, because there's a game going on right now, and we tried talking about it a little bit last night because the Mavericks lost to the Jazz 2 nights ago. They're off to just an awful start. They're way out of the playoff picture. It's very early with this stuff. But we've talked about Doncic and the MVP candidacy, blah, 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 blah. And I mentioned last night I saw some people in Dallas who already are regretting the Kristaps Porzingis trade a few years later. He's hurt all the time. There's no chemistry between him and Luka. We played a cut last night of Porzingis saying the chemistry's not there, and it's not there because the guy never plays. Okay, that's why there's no chemistry. Porzingis plays a couple games and then he gets hurt. Then he comes back, plays a couple games, then he gets hurt again. But tonight, Mafia, they are getting absolutely whacked again in Utah. Now it's very early and it's the NBA, but they're down 21 already early in the second quarter, 37-16. What do you think here? You think Porzingis was a miss for the Mavericks?
I don't know if I'm going to say a miss because I get what you were saying last night, you know, reading into it and that the Knicks were able to clear a bunch of cap space and kind of rebuild by getting rid of him because he would have taken a big contract like he got in Dallas afterwards. He was coming off the injury, so you weren't necessarily sure if he was going to be able to come back. He didn't like what was going on there. I get all that, but he is a great player. You know, I don't take anything away from him. He isn't obviously dominating like he could, like you think the guy's skill set could, you know, translate into. But still, what the Knicks got back from Dennis Smith Jr. has kind of been he's been a bust. I was excited to get him because I thought he was a guy the Knicks should have drafted instead of Ntilikina. They did not. They missed on that one. But ever since he got to New York, he's done nothing either. So it's not like he was, you know, the missing piece or like he was the guy that, okay, well, now we got him. We could build around this. He's been a bust completely. So I don't think either team won in that sense. I think if you're going to say who got the better player, it's still Porzingis, even though that team's struggling. The problem for me is that, you know, once again, another team that plays no defense. They'll score, you know, a ton of points. They'll score 110 points a game, but they're not going to stop anybody. And now, you know, you're playing a Jazz right. team who has no Spider Mitchell, and you're getting lit up, and no one's scoring here. Porzingis has no points. Doncic has six. Okay, it's decent, but 1 of 4, 1 of 3 from outside, okay. The rest of that team is so not consistent. That's the problem, is that you have no chemistry because you can't really define your roles when you can't get consistent contributions from each guy to know, well, he's going to do this, or I can rely on this guy to do that. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., I thought that now with him being able to slide back into like the third, you know, guy in the roster role there, I thought that would be good for him, that he could kind of get a little more consistently, a little more comfort, instead of having to be the guy like he was trying to be in New York, or the second guy to Doncic with Porzingis out. I thought he was going to get better. He hasn't. You know, these other guys like Finney Smith and Richardson, they're kind of all over the place too. If you don't have defined roles, you can't get consistent. You can't get comfortable. That's been a big problem for them, on top of they play no defense. It's all about just shooting, shooting, shooting.
Right. And just to go back to the Nick part of it, because I agree with you that the players that they have gotten in the deal, no, they're not helpful. But I think just what the deal did off the court, where it gave them flexibility salary cap wise, and it opened some things up for them. Smith has been a hack. One of the picks was Nilakina. They've got another pick coming this year, which I thought can be another huge part of it. If the Mavericks continue to stink and end up in the lottery, you never know what can happen in the lottery. And if suddenly you're picking in the, you know, the top 3 or 4, or even if you're in the top 10, and you get another good player out of this deal, it gave you the ability to sign Randall, who's been very good. So I just think that it kind of helped the Knicks in the aspect of, you know, it able to clear out all that really awful salary cap hit that they had, send it down there to Dallas, and open some things up and allow them to get players. They haven't gotten the star yet, but it's allowed them to open things up and get a couple more key pieces.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially because now you've like you said, cleared some guys out. They're playing decent ball. You got Tibbs now, and he's making the play good defense. So with some of these younger pieces like Barrett starting to come to his own, Quigley, you know, you have Randall scoring, that they're actually, you know, a decent enough team that one of these stars might say, hey, listen, if I go there, you know, I could be the leader. I could be the one that's, you know, puts us over the top, and we could be a playoff team, and maybe we get a second guy, and we could be a contender. So, yes, they have built towards something. I will, you know, absolutely agree with that, especially because as good as Porzingis could be at times, he's not a guy to build around as your number one. And that was the problem for the Knicks, is that he was the number one guy for them. He was the only one. And I don't know if you have, you know, R.J. Barrett being able to do what he's doing, if you have Porzingis who's standing outside the three-point line the whole time. I don't know if you could have, you know, obviously you wouldn't have Julius Randle because they're playing the same position essentially, so that never would have happened. I don't know if some of these guys that you've built into your system now and that have become good contributors for the Knicks would have been able to fit into a system around Porzingis. So, yeah, that probably ends up being good for them. I hated the trade when it happened. I thought, you know, he was our best player. He was awesome. He was the only draft pick they hit on in 10 years. But he didn't want to be there, and understandably so, given the dysfunction that was in that, you know, that franchise at the time and still is to a lesser degree now. So I don't blame him for wanting out. I don't blame them for trading him. It stunk at the time, but it's worked out well so far.
And there's one other thing that trade did, and this goes back to how they cleared so much space. They were able to get Randall, who's been a very good player for them. But remember, it also allowed them to sign Morris. And what did that do for them? They allowed to flip Morris for a first rounder, which I believe was the Quickley pick. So
right, and it got rid of Hardaway's contract, which was a big, you know, right, albatross around their neck.
Right. So, but that allowed them space to get Morris, which then turns into a pick like Quickley, and suddenly that's just, it's an extension of that Porzingis trade, allowing them to make that move, which allows them to make that draft pick, which through these first couple games looks like they hit on, because Quickley's a player, man. And all the talk with the Knicks that night of the draft was how everybody was pumped about Obi Toppin, and I understandably so. I thought that that was a great snag, and hopefully he's going to get better and get more burn and do things like that. But Quickley, Mafia, is really the guy in that, out of those two draft picks, who has taken over, played some big minutes, and scored a ton of points. And the Knicks have been looking for a player like that, the point guard position, for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a guy who could be the point guard of the future, you know, fit in the backcourt with Barrett, have those two guys back there, and then, you know, have Obi Trice Toppin in the middle there as, you know, the four, and just get a big-bodied center, because I know they love Mitchell. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work out. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, something that really develops into something, because he just gets pushed around too easily by some of these guys and doesn't really have, you know, the body type to be a good offensive post-up player. You know, maybe not. Knox is there too. If they keep him and he develops more, if you trade him for something, they do have a lot of, you know, decent to good pieces that they could either use for, you know, a bigger player or use to build around for, you know, obviously the better ones like Barrett and Quigley and, you know, maybe Toppin if he can stay healthy. His big problem has been injuries so far this year, and we'll see if that starts to plague him as it continues, or, you know, if eventually he starts to get healthy and right.
And Quigley tonight, 25 points in 25 minutes. He had 5 threes. He was 5 of 8 from 3, 9 of 17 from the floor. Barrett had 24, and Randall had 16. You know, Knox does not. Knox with a donut. He only played 8 minutes. Toppin played 13 minutes, had 5 points. But you're starting to finally see a couple of pieces. And Quigley was, you know, was a steal in the mid-20s because he went, you got to remember, he went to Kentucky, which means he could play. Now, just because he wasn't the best player at Kentucky, or he was the third or fourth best player, I think that that sometimes kind of undervalues a guy like him. You know, he's probably a top 10 talent, Mafia, that slid into the mid-20s just because he didn't have a great year at Kentucky. But if he was recruited by Calipari to Kentucky, he's a player. Okay, and he's shown it early on. Jeez, Moff, it just gets worse for the Mavs. They're down 25. It's 44-19. I mean, honestly, where's the heart? What are we doing here? You just got whacked by him the other night. I mean, honestly, Mafia, this is embarrassing for this team.
Especially because Spider Mitchell's not even playing. Again, this guy is out, and they're lighting up another team, which just shows you how strong they are playing this year and how good they're going to be in the West and be something that's pretty tough to deal with when you get down to the playoff time, hopefully. You know, we always talk about Lakers, Clippers. Those are the only ones we really highlight. The Jazz might be a player for real this time this year. I mean, yeah, we still have Denver, and they looked good last year, and Joker and Murray are doing well, and Porter's playing well, but still they need to show me more that they'll be consistent when we get to the playoffs, because they are always – you know, pretty solid in the regular season and kind of fade away. But that's what the Jazz were too. But right now, the way they're showing how deep they are, how well they can score now as a team, not just, you know, one or two guys, not just Spider Mitchell draining threes, it's everybody contributing. I'm telling you, this team is going to be legit in the playoffs.
And I got to tell you, I'm also very surprised. And speaking of the Jazz, Mavi, they're actually first in the West right now. Now, look, extremely early, but they're, you know, a game ahead of the Lakers. Which is, hey, you know, there's a long way to go, but that's pretty cool to see. And the Spurs, I'm very impressed with. Spurs ended up winning that game against the Nuggets tonight and went away the last couple of minutes. They've been very good, 12-8 so far this year for San Antonio. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia, 844. Whoa, 844-843-6879, the number. We come back, we will wrap up our number one. We've got a lot more to do. The bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 is the number to get involved. We're rocking on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. Scotty will be back on Monday for Super Bowl week. Final night for me and Mafia. Maf, what are we looking at here? Now, I'm a little behind you TV-wise. We've got 76-74 Illinois. I've got 106 left to go in the game. They've been reviewing something for a while. I've got a lot of things going on here. What are we looking at over at the official scores table, if you know?
Yeah, they're looking at a potential goaltending on Cockburn that they made it to 76-74. They called goaltending, gave the basket to Iowa to make it a two-point game, and they have been reviewing it for about 10 minutes now.
That is close. I finally just saw it. That's very close.
I think it's on the way down.
Ooh, very close. Man, you don't think it's at the top, huh? You thought it was on the way down?
I think it's on the decline.
Now listen, we're invested in Iowa here, so just full disclosure, we're invested in Iowa.
Oh,
so
they took it away.
We are hoping. They took it away!
But Iowa has the ball.
Wow! Iowa keeps the Rock?
They do.
So now it's going to go back to 76-72. We got that right, Mafia? 76-72.
That is correct. 106 left.
So this is a spot where you have to. And this bothered me about Iowa a couple weeks ago. They lost the game to Minnesota late in overtime when they didn't do this. You have to, Mafia, give the Rock to Garza here. Give it to Garza. I don't want to see anybody else, any of these other kids with the ball. And a turnover. Awful job by Iowa. Awful. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number. We come back. Get our number two on the bench rolling right after this.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.